Well, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening as we look at this subject before us. And we're kind of looking at the two sides of the same coin when it comes to Christian living. Peter tells us here in this text that we are partakers of the divine nature of God, and then we have escaped the corruption of the world through lust. And so there's two sides to this Christian living. Another way that we might say this is we are separated first and foremost unto God, but at the same time, as we're separated unto God, we are separated from what? The world. Okay? And so that's the two sides of the same coin, of the coin of Christian living. We're separated first unto, well, and I shouldn't say first, it's not like first and second, it's simultaneous. But we got to talk about them. So, and we can't really talk about them simultaneously. I can't speak that way, and you can't hear that way. So, I'm just going to start out with the positive. We're separated unto God, and then at the same time, we're separated from the world. All right. So, Paul has some things to say about that, but Peter is what we're going to look at this evening as he shares with us here in these first few verses of the second epistle of Peter. So, Simon Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, this is 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So, this is that doulos there. He is saying, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were born, when each one of us were born, we were born servants. Or maybe even really a better way for us to understand it, especially in our current vernacular, is we were born a slave. We were born a slave, bound to, in bondage to, sin. That was our born condition. And you've heard me joke about that. Very few of us, probably none of us, have held that newborn baby in our arms and said, oh, what a beautiful sinner. It's probably not real appropriate at the moment, but it's a truthful statement, isn't it? When we're born, we are born bound or a bond slave to sin. And it is our master, and it is what we must do. And we have a master, not just sin in general, but we know that our master is Lucifer, Satan, okay? But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as the Apostle Peter has done, he changed from being bound to sin and the slave master of sin and bound to another. That's what we said. When we accept Christ as Savior, when we become a Christian, a child of God, we're separated unto God and from sin simultaneously. Our master changes. Our servitude changes. And so this is what Simon Peter is communicating. And it's interesting he uses Simon here. If you want to hold your place in 1 Peter and just look at the first verse of 1 Peter, we have here Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? But then the second letter he writes, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. But I could get sidetracked by that. We'll leave that alone for tonight. It's just a change there. Peter was the name given to him by whom? Jesus. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church makes a big deal out of the fact that Jesus gave Peter that name, because that name means what? The rock, okay, but actually, more specifically, or more narrow, properly understood, it's not a rock, it's a stone or a pebble, okay? And the foundation of the church is not Peter. And of course, that's what the Roman Catholic Church takes and runs with, and then they say their current priest, or what's the top guy called? What? Oh, the Pope. Yes, that's it. The Pope speaks ex cathedra from the Apostle Peter's chair, and whatever he says is authoritative. It's on equal footing of the Word of God. Okay, now that's nowhere found in Scripture. I mean, that's all hokey. But they really take that. That was the name given to Peter, Simon, by Jesus, and it means a rock, okay, or a pebble, we might say, compared to the foundation or the cornerstone of the church, which is whom? Jesus Christ, okay? So Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. Now, he does in 1 Peter, he declares that apostleship. And he rightly does this because it does certainly establish his authority. All right, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter was an apostle. But the fact is, where the rubber meets the road, is that Peter is really on equal footing with you and me. Now, he's the great Peter, the apostle Peter, a pillar of the church. But one of the things that Peter is doing as he identifies who he is that, yes, while God appointed me to that position, it's right for me to acknowledge that position because that's what God has determined, and it has its place of authority, and it ought to be heeded and recognized. When it comes to standing before God, we are all on equal footing. Okay? Peter doesn't get a pass because he was an apostle. The standard doesn't change for Peter because he was an apostle. He is on equal footing. What is this equal footing? We have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So you might have heard someone say, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. And that's a good way to understand this. Okay? The foot of the cross, or the cross of Calvary, doesn't make a distinction between man and woman, adult or child, black or white or yellow or purple or green or whatever other color you might come up with. No distinction. Christ died for all. And whosoever will may come. That is the foot of the cross. That's the kind of ground. That's the kind of terrain that's there at the foot of Christ, of the cross. Now, Peter goes on to say in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, how many of you want more grace and peace? Only a few of you. That's interesting. I thought it would be unanimous. Let's try that again. How many of you want more grace and peace? Okay, it's almost unanimous. All right, some of you are looking around to make sure you should raise your hand. Yeah, we want the grace. You don't want to not have the grace of God. For by grace are ye, oh yeah, through faith. It's not of our works. We can't do anything to fix our problem. Okay? Oh yes, we want the grace of God. And we want more of it. We want the peace. How many of you woke up this morning and said, I just hope and pray that my day is troubled? I mean, I hope every time I turn around, I'm getting smacked upside the head and just into more trouble. How many of you might need to seek a counselor if you raise your hand on this, because that is not normal or right. Al, oh boy. Oh no, you have something else to say. Okay. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you look for your day to be that, yes, it probably would become that. No, we don't want that. We want the peace of God. So Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now that's in the form of a prayer. He's praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ, that God's grace and peace. Now, do we get more of God's grace? We have to be careful because we can depart from solid theology here. Or do we get more of God's peace? Well, we get it all, but what's really the thing? That we don't grab hold of it. We set it aside, right? Or we just ignore it. And so this is the form of a prayer. I hope that you pray for one another. I hope that you pray for me. And if you don't have any, especially if you don't have anything good to say about your brothers and sisters in Christ that you're praying for, then just pray this. I pray for more grace and peace for Eldon today. Okay, now I can pray some other good things too for Eldon. Okay, don't think there's a problem between the two of us. But if you can't come up with anything more than that, pray that. And as you start praying, maybe for a brother and sister in Christ that you have aught against, but you start praying for the grace and peace of God to be upon their life, do you know what's going to happen with your attitude and maybe your behavior towards that brother and sister in Christ? It's going to change. as you realize that as you pray for the grace and peace of God for your life and for theirs, maybe you ought to exhibit some of that grace and peace that God's bestowed upon you and enabled you and me to live like. And it changes our behavior towards one another. So grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this grace and peace doesn't just come to us like poof, you know, like we rub the little lantern and the fairy, nope, the genie, that's who comes out of the lantern. The genie comes out of the lantern and he says, I'll grant you two wishes tonight. I know it's three, but two wishes, grace and peace. Okay, no, that is not what's going on here at all. It is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, it's important for us to understand what it means, for us to understand what this knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord means. I mean, it's pretty. It sounds pretty in the text. I mean, it just kind of flows and it sounds good. And if you don't know an answer in Sunday school, that would be a good answer. But what does it mean? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Remember, when we were born, we were born dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I don't take this too far to the extreme. You're voting on me tonight, so you probably should know this up front. I am not a committed Calvinist, okay? So I don't take the dead to the extreme. But let's just think about it for a moment. How much does a corpse know? You say, I don't know. I've never been one. I've been close a time or two, but I've never been. Well, okay, we put our head around that and we can understand, all right? We did not have the knowledge of God. Now, God, through His Word and through the sacrifice, the gift is how Scripture calls it, the gift He gave through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been given all that we need for life and godliness. We've been given, Peter tells us, we're going to get to that in just a moment here, that all we need to understand our condition that we're born into and what God has done to take care of that. That's the knowledge that Peter is talking about here. That we've been made aware of our sin. That we're a sinner. That can't help ourselves. We need a Savior. And God has provided that Savior, the only Savior, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? Okay. Yeah. Al? Yeah. We are to command it. This is a command. Yeah, we have. And that is true. That's another side of this. We're going to actually finish with that tonight. That this is an area that we are supposed to grow in. Okay? Now, let's move on to verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So how do you have, if you're sitting in the pew tonight, or standing here behind this podium, and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You've been you've been removed from the bondage of sin, and now are a bond slave to Christ. You're separated unto God and from the world. How is it that you are able to be in that position? We're told right here, according as to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we've already kind of mentioned that, right? Because we're told very plainly, Paul tells us very plainly, that we can't do righteous deeds to set the balance level or to be right with God, to take care of our sin problem. It's not works of righteousness which we have done, right? Or can do. It's because of His divine power. He has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Through, here's that knowledge again, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, so here's that two sides of the same coin. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are turning from sin and the wickedness that all represents, and the master of that sin, Satan and his cohorts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we are separated at the same time unto God called to glory and virtue. This is an either or. It is not a mixture of the two. And sadly, in Christianity today, we've kind of got this idea that we can be positioned either this direction or this direction, which is what I'm arguing for tonight. But sadly, in Christianity today, there's also the idea that we can be positioned in this direction. So to maybe illustrate a little bit more, we have 1 foot over here, and I don't want to go that wide. 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here. Now, do you know where that's found in Scripture? It's in 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. That's a false teaching. That is not found in Scripture. It's a doctrine of the devils. And Peter does deal with that. We won't get there tonight. So, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, that's just way of introduction, because really where I want to spend the rest of our time is in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Whereby, okay, so where are these exceeding great and precious promises coming from? Well, what he's already talked about in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know another way that we might say exceeding great? Do you get that's pretty weighty? Now, it's not correct grammar. It's not correct English. If Mrs. Wilson were here tonight, she would cringe. But I'm going to say it for emphasis, okay? It's like saying most greatest. Now, is that proper? But, I mean, you can't get any better. Peter is saying exceeding great and precious. Now, he's already talked about precious, hasn't he? Look back at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like, what? Precious faith. Precious. I would say so. Because how is it that we have these promises? How is it that we have this faith, this saving faith? It was because he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you'll recall with me that day that Jesus was hung on Calvary's cross. Remember? Oh yeah, we're just awestruck by the physical damage that was done to his person. And then we might even relate to some degree by the ridicule that they heaped upon him. But I think all of that pales quite in a very large way, pales in comparison to what he cried out on the cross. My God, why hast thou, what, forsaken me? The sky turned dark. The Father had turned his back upon his Son because he willingly became the sacrificial lamb. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. He took our sins upon him that we might be able to take upon us his righteousness. I would say precious is a good word to use. And we might even think of some more and still not get it said, right? So Peter says to us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now that should put a different spin on your morning when you wake up. Hey, today I'm waking up to the exceeding great and precious promises of God. I didn't want to get up at 6 a.m. to go to surgery. Oh no, it'll have to be earlier than that, won't it, Kim? Kim's got to get up early for surgery tomorrow morning. Make sure you pray for him. What time is that surgery supposed to be actually taking place? Okay, so he has to be there at 6. He should be in surgery around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah. Okay. Hopefully sooner than that. Don't forget to pray for Kim tomorrow. We, if we're children of God, get to wake up in the morning and say, hey, I have to look forward to the exceeding great and precious promises of God. I'll tell you a time I didn't think about that this week for a moment. I'll admit to not for a moment. Les volunteered to help me take chairs out to, Les is thinking, oh no, he just mentioned my, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'll embarrass me, okay. To help me to take chairs out to camp for the ladies' retreat. Oh, and by the way, while I'm on that, let me give this commercial. If there's anyone who would like to help Les and me bring those chairs back to church this week, please see me. Call me, let me know. I won't be hanging around till the very end tonight. So call me, let me know, and we'll arrange a time when it'll work between Les and me and you, whoever gets a hold of me. And as I'm pulling, I've got the Suburban, and I've got the trailer full of chairs. I mean, it's not a heavy load, but I mean, it's there. It's extra weight. And don't tell my wife I'm admitting this, but the brakes are a little questionable on the Suburban. She always says, these brakes, I'm like, ah, they're fine. Just plan on, you know, distance, you know. And so I'm turning off of the center street onto 93, and I've done that. I've turned, and all of a sudden this guy whips out in front of me, and I stomped on the brakes. And I got stopped, but that was a moment where I did not think, hey, exceeding great and precious promises. But it would have been a good moment for me to remember that. I certainly sweated it. And I did say pretty quickly, thank you, Lord, for looking out for me, because it was a close call. Now, unless you think I'm making that up, you can ask Les if it was a close call or not. So afterward, if I'm taking pastoral liberty there and embellishing on it, but Les will be like, I don't know, he had a mile and a half. I don't know what he's talking about. let me see here. I better not get sidetracked. According to his divine power. Okay, so whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know what those promises are? All right. Now, here's your part. Eldon, look up John 6:37. Okay, you got that reference? John 6:37. Okay. Dan, look up Matthew. I'm going to see who has their Bibles with them tonight. Matthew 11:28-29. Ray, look up John 14:6. Roger, look up 1 John 5:12. I'm not going to remember who I signed these for, so please remember your reference. And then I'll read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. You can look with me with that one if you want. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Here's just a sampling. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's what God has said. Eldon, John 6:37. Very good. Those that come to him, and all that the Father has given him will, he will no wise cast out. Now that's a promise to take to the bank, isn't it? All right. Matthew 11:28-29. Dan.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
The Lord says you'll find rest in him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. You like that one? John 14:6. There you go. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. 1 John 5:12. Okay, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not, and this is the knowledge that Peter is talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1, then you do not have life. You're not born as a child of God because you're an American. Or because dad and mom are Christian. Or because dad and mom took you to church. We've already talked about what you were born as, and it was something ugly. A word that we haven't used yet, but rightly so, an enemy, not just a buddy, you know, not a buddy, but an enemy of God. And then we read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Now, that's just a sampling. I mean, there's a whole bunch in there. We've got the book of Psalms. We've got the book of Proverbs. Well, we've got all the others. It's just incredible. And as you read, as you do your daily Bible reading, and hopefully you are reading your Bible, making a daily habit, reading it. I should have started at the beginning because I all got it all goofed up. But you know the saying, right? Have a notebook beside you and jot down some of the promises that you're coming across. And you know, you might find yourself saying, well, I just can't hardly believe that. I mean, God has promised me that? Yes, He has. And it's not His problem that we aren't claiming those problems or promises. It's our problem. Well, let's move on here. So, that by these ye might, so by these precious promises and the knowledge of God, by the stuff He's talked about, the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, you might say, ooh, that's mystical. And it does kind of sound mystical, but another way of saying is that you can be born again, that you become a child of God. And we know that when we're born again, we become a child of God. God is our Father now, and we are joint heirs with Christ. Brothers and sisters, together, that blood connection, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're saved here this evening, those around you who are also saved, they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that incredible? My kids, when they discover that, you know, when they discovered that, they thought it was so cool that their dad is not just their dad, but he's also a brother in Christ. You know, they thought that was really, and it is. It's a cool thing. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. God is our Father, and we're joint heirs with Christ. Brothers and sisters. And then we also had that declaration that He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I mean, that's a promise we want to take to the bank as well. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, I think a great explanation, and we have a business meeting, I know there's 3 minutes left. I think a great explanation of this is, well, let me see if you can think of what I'm thinking of. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Peter 2:22. How about that? Now, Peter is dealing with, really is warning about apostate teachers. Okay? And now unsaved professors. In verse 22, he's talking about those folks. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, not too long ago, you heard some political talk about that, right? If you put, I don't know exactly what it was, if you put lipstick on a pig, is it still a pig or something like that? I don't, do you remember that funny stuff that was going on with that? How many of you have raised pigs? Yeah. Clean animals, aren't they? Not so much. Well, where my mind is going to this, I think, is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. We have there the story of the prodigal son. Remember, he took his inheritance and he departed from the father. Now, that was his true nature. He was the father's son. And he blew it. I mean, he blew through that money. And his friends, you know, when he had no more money, were gone. And we find him. Where do we find him? In a pig pen. He was in a place that was not compatible with his nature. What is his nature? He is the son of the Father. Now, our illustration, our analogy, he's a human being. Okay, he's not a pig. And that son would have been in serious trouble. And I don't have time to argue all the points tonight. I might raise a few questions here, okay? But maybe we can deal with the prodigal son story another time. But my point tonight is this. He did come to the place where he said, enough of this. I'm going to go to my father's house. And do you know how many of those pigs went with him? Well, not a single one. Because it wasn't their nature. And see, that's incredible, isn't it? When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, by the grace of God, His divine power provided all of that, grace through faith, and by God's abundant grace, we have acknowledged that, and we accept Christ as our Savior, we now become a child of God, joint heirs with Christ, separated unto God, and from the world. Our nature has changed. We call it the old man. We've left that behind. Sin in the world, the old man, and the new man. And sometimes, even in that condition, which cannot be changed because He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Aren't you thankful for that? We behave contrary to our new nature. We behave like we're back there with that old man in the pig pen of the world. And look what he says here. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He said corruption, not pollution. Now, he deals with that in chapter 2. There's a lot of people in Christianity today who are concerned about escaping the pollution of this world. And that's one thing, but the corruption of the world is completely different. And so, see, sadly, people who are pursuing taking care of the pollution of this world, when they stand before the Father or before God one day, they'll hear this: "Depart from me, I never knew you." But because of God's great love, His divine power, He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we accept by faith, grace through faith, that finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, we become separated unto God, a new man, a new creature in Christ. Having left behind that old man, it's still present with us. Okay, salvation has three tenses. We're saved from the penalty of sin. What's the penalty? Wages of sin is death. We're saved now, currently, right now, if we know Christ is saved, we're saved from the power of sin. We're no longer bound to. We don't have to sin. We can obey God. But we look forward to that day, because this is part of our salvation that has not yet been realized, when we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. And that old man will be no longer. When's that going to happen? When we see Him, for we shall be like Him. Isn't that incredible? Now that's a promise we want to take. So when we behave against our nature, our new nature, and like we're, let's call that sin. And let's take another promise that God has given us. And that's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank You for this time that we've had together this evening. I pray now that You would bless our time together in a business meeting. Help us to take care of the business and take care of it in a way that pleases and honors You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.